Okay, my name is Ryan Alverson. I'm 16 years old. Today is December 2nd, 2017, and I'm speaking with Diane Alverson, who is my grandmother, and recording this in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey. Okay, so the first question is, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
I had a large family because I'm the oldest of five girls, and it was always chaotic in the house.
Lots of
female emotions. My mother and father were pretty patient with us. I was deeply close to my two younger sisters, babysat a lot. As a kid, because I was the oldest, born first, I tended to be the one that was always in charge.
Right.
And
wait, but were you the oldest?
I was the oldest.
You were the oldest.
I'm the oldest of the five girls, and the second sister, Kathy, was just a year younger than I was. And then the next sister, Lynn, was 2 years younger. And then the other two, Mary Faith and Karen, they came along a lot later. So it was sort of like two separate sets of kids. And because I am basically a pretty responsible person anyway, I assumed a lot of responsibility. Yeah. I was pretty independent, and I always felt that I was strong because of a lot of responsibility that was given to me. I learned how to be responsible very young.
Yeah, because you kind of had to take care of them too.
Yeah, I did. I had to
take care of them. Are they all still alive today?
No, the second sister, Kathy.
I only know Lynn and...
Lynn and Mary Faith and Karen.
Yeah.
Aunt Kathy died before you were born. She was a paraplegic because she had been hit by an automobile when I was 10. She was 9. And the accident caused her to be a paraplegic for the rest of her life. As a 10-year-old, that was pretty traumatic.
Yeah,
she and I were like the best of friends. We did everything together. And to have lost that very young, and because it was such a serious accident, she was in the hospital more than she was home.
Right. Yeah.
And but once she kind of recovered from that and was, you know, able to move on with her life, you know, we always remained close as teenagers, and she went away to college, and I missed her a lot when she went away. But so that pretty much affected my life when I was younger too.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine, yeah. So the next question is, can you tell me about your grandparents and your great-grandparents, if you remember?
I had two grandmothers. My grandfathers died before I was born, and my grandmothers, we lived with one. My father was in the Marine Corps, and he went away overseas a lot, and every time he'd go overseas, we would come back to Philadelphia and live with my grandmother there.
How many times did you have to do that?
Probably about a half a dozen times.
Oh, really?
We were transferred between New York, San Diego, and Philadelphia, and because my grandmother lived in Philadelphia, we would come back to the same house that my mother had grown up in. And then we would just stay there. And this was when I was pretty young. Once I became a teenager, my father retired from the military, and we didn't move anymore. And that's how we moved out of Philadelphia. We settled in Glassboro, South Jersey. And that's pretty much where I spent my high school years and my college years. But getting back to my grandparents, I loved both my grandmothers greatly. My father's mother lived in Florida and New York, and we would see her when she was traveling from one place to the other. And I guess because you don't see someone so very often, you feel, you know, like, you know, more love or more connected. Mm-hmm. You want to be around them. And it was always such great fun when she would come. She played games with us, board games, card games, took me to movies, and that's how I became so enamored with theater.
Oh, yeah, that's
movies.
How you can do
because she took me to so many wonderful places, including Broadway. And so, you know, I have such a love for movies and the theater.
Yeah.
So it developed from that, I'm pretty sure. And I called her Nana, and she also was a great baker. And as soon and she also had a dish that was called Hungarian goulash. And as soon as she would come to visit, the very first thing that she would do is get out the big pot, the macaroni, the meat, the Campbell's soup, and put it all together, and we couldn't wait to
eat. So that, like, that's kind of like one of your favorite memories?
It is a favorite memory, and it always was a favorite food, too. I used to make it when your dad and Aunt Shana were younger, but I don't make it anymore. The other thing, she was a good baker, particularly pies. And that's why I like mince pie, because she would...
I never even had that before.
Because she would buy the jar of... And it, for her, it had to be None Such is the brand name, mince filling.
Oh, only that kind?
Yeah, only that kind for her. And she would make the pie dough from scratch. And there'd always be a little bit of dough left over. And she would roll it out, like in a little circle, and she'd put butter and brown sugar in it and roll it up and bake it. And they would get real crispy, and we called them Tootsie Rolls. So it was always fun to have a little bit of leftover pie dough so that she could have that. Yeah. So those are memories of her. And my granny, who is my mother's mother, that we lived with when we would come back to Philadelphia. she was a character. She worked as a court clerk at the Media Pennsylvania judge office, and always dressed really sharp, always had a hat on that was...
Was she like serious kind of?
Yes, a little bit more than Nana, because Nana was, a little bit more childlike. Right. But Granny, Granny's Polish, and I think, maybe that had a little bit to do with it. But when she married my grandfather, whom I don't know, she had to become Catholic. At that time, if you were not Catholic, you couldn't marry. So she converted to Catholicism so that she could marry my grandfather, and became a very strict Catholic. That's usually what happens, I hear, when people, convert to a religion.
If you convert to it, you kind of have to...
You have to adhere to it.
No, exactly.
She had three sisters, and they were great aunts to us. We just loved them. And everybody lived in the same neighborhood in Philadelphia, so you just...
Oh, so you were kind of close to everyone.
Yeah, you were close to everybody because you grew up in the same place. My Nana was actually a Broadway actress. She had been in plays in Broadway back in the 1920s, and... she traveled a lot. She would do summer stop theaters.
So she was kind of famous.
I don't think she was too famous, but probably in her group of peers, the other actors, and her sister was too. My Nana's name was Lily, and her sister's name was Pearl. And I just thought that they were... Morris was their maiden name, and I just thought they were pretty names. And so I have a lot of fond memories of grandparents, but I had no great-grandparents were alive.
Okay, so the next one is, tell me a favorite memory of me.
One of the first things that popped into my mind was when you were very young, 1, 2, 3, whenever there was a box from, let's say, a Christmas gift or a birthday gift, you would... get right into the box.
I don't know why.
And one box I remember in specific, and it was here at our house, was a rectangular shaped box. It couldn't have been much bigger than like that. So you were really small. And you got in the box, and you leaned back, way back, with your head resting on the edge of the box, and your arms hanging on the outside, and it was in our family room in front of the television, and you just watched TV that way.
That couldn't have been comfortable.
I would think it wasn't comfortable because of leaning on the edge of a box and your arms hanging out, but it never seemed to bother you. But if there was a box available, you would eventually get in it and take a rest.
Okay. Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences on your life?
Several women come to mind. You have to remember that I was in college in the 60s, high school in the, from graduated in 64, graduated college in 68. Those were tumultuous times for women, and particularly when you're trying to get into the workforce. And I remember applying for a swim team coach job, and when the interview was over, I overheard one man say to another man, I don't know how she would be able to handle the 18-year-old boys. I don't think a female is a good candidate for this position.
What? Oh, well, was that actually, like, during that time? Was that, like, that wasn't, well, that wasn't, like, that was, like, I don't know, like, that was, like, a common opinion. Something.
Yes, absolutely. That was probably 1966, because I was in college. I was a health and phys ed major, and I was a competitive swimmer and diver my whole life, right through college. And it insulted me so.
Yeah.
But when I finally got home, I just burst into tears because I thought how unfair it was. And I went to one of my phys ed instructors at Glassboro and told her what had happened. And at that time, most of the department were females. And when I told her what happened, she said that it was not uncommon, right, and that it things like this will probably happen in your career. And you've just got to be strong and be committed. And it's probably the first time I ever thought that I had failed at something, because I always was pretty successful in whatever I tried to accomplish. And then there was a young, she was about 4 years older than I was. And I knew her from the swim team when I was a kid, and our families were friendly. And she was strong and independent, and a phys ed major also, but she was at Temple. And she always had words of wisdom for me as trying to pursue my career and, you know, being a strong woman and, you know, going after what you want and not letting people stand in your way. So, and then a couple of other phys ed teachers at Glassboro, females, were the same. I just saw them as strong women. And it gave me a model and something that I wanted to pursue in my own life. And I think I was pretty successful at it.
Yeah, I think you were too. Okay, so next question is, what are you proudest of personally and professionally in your life?
Well, obviously family comes first.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Well, your grandfather and I have been together. It will be celebrating 50 years of marriage in June.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know. It's 50 years of June. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And it's been a very successful marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had any conflict. We had our two children that I love to the moon and back. And I'm proud of their accomplishments. I'm very proud of my husband's accomplishments. At the time when women were working outside of the home, your grandfather, you know, said, whatever you want to do, Diane, and I wanted to be home to raise our children. I did not want to send them to daycare or after or before school. I wanted to be there for everything that they were involved with, and I was. And it was a time of struggle for your grandfather and I, because income at that time for teachers was not very high paying. And then once he became got his master's degree and became principal, it increased a little bit, but I was still at home taking care of your dad and Aunt Shana. And so there were a lot of struggles, but your grandfather never said, you got to go to work. So there were a lot of lean times, but we somehow got through it. And I'm proud of the fact that he pursued his doctorate in education, and he has that. And so there were a lot of sacrifices, not only financially, but time-wise, the opportunities that we had to be together, because he was in a lot of, you know, studies and school, driving to Delaware. So anyway, I'm very, very proud of him and his accomplishments. And then I'm very proud of the fact that Stephen, your dad, and Aunt Shana married, you know, the people that they married. I love them as much as I love my kids. And then, of course, comes the grandchildren.
Yes, I knew that was coming.
And you know how I feel about you, Ryan. You're really a super kid. You make me very proud, and I brag about you.
I try to make you proud.
Well, you do. The things that you set your mind to, you remind me of me a little bit. You've got goals. You've got, you know, things you want to be successful in. You work at it, and you continue to expand yourself. You've taken on a heavy load this year, and I'm concerned about that.
Yeah.
And you know, but you're hanging in there with it. Mm. And then next year will be a little later.
Yeah,
you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of the accomplishments, not only educationally, but you know, the jobs, the sports, the everything that you and your sister and Emma and Erica do. You know, I do have a lot to be proud about. I do brag about it a lot.
I know.
And that's it. That is a good thing. I'm glad I don't have to sit back and worry and wonder where they are, what they're doing, and who they're with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are... And professionally, I did go back to work teaching after, you know, my kids were a little bit older. And I, you know, did what I had to do, and I was highly respected in my job, and you know, people came to me to have, you know, for my opinion and so forth. And even now, when I'm involved in various activities and clubs, I'm respected there too.
Yeah.
People admire me.
Yeah.
So I feel good.
Well,
about
everyone
it.
Does think of you as like a very nice person. Everyone loves you, so
yeah.
That's something you can be proud of.
Oh, thank you. Right.
Right. So next question is, what are you most grateful for?
I'm most grateful for medical technology that is allowing your grandfather to remain alive. He has had a lot of serious health issues throughout his adult life, and he's losing his vision due to, you know, glaucoma and laser surgeries because of a detached retina. And he's obviously diabetic and has issues with that. It's not easily controlled. And at the same, and now in the last 2 years, he has started kidney dialysis because of kidney failure. And without that, he would not be here.
Yeah.
It's a rough schedule, 3 days a week, almost 5 hours of dialysis. And it takes time away from each other that we really prefer to be with each other than anywhere else. We like each other's company. And we kind of resent that time being taken away. So when it's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, we spend our time together, whatever it might be doing. Even if he's in one room and I'm in another room, we're at least together. So that's what I'm most grateful for, that and the doctors that are making sure that he stays as healthy as he can. They're always making sure that things are being taken care of.
What are your hopes for me? What are your hopes and wishes for me? And what are your hopes and wishes for my children?
My wishes for you, Ryan, are that you pursue your education as you have always done, and that the career that you eventually choose gives you great satisfaction. It's not just about the money, what you're earning.
Yeah.
However, that's extremely important, especially in today's economy. But I want you always to be happy with what you're doing. And I hope to be here to see that. I want to know.
I know you will.
Okay, great. I want to know what you're going to become.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
It's not that far away.
It isn't that far away.
If you think about it,
it's... No. Yeah,
probably. One more year of high school and then college.
Yeah.
And
I hope that... My wish is also that you find your spouse to be as wonderful as the marriage your parents have.
Yeah.
That... your grandparents have, and your aunt and uncle, and because that's extremely important, and you'll be happy in your family and happy at work, and your children, I want to be there to see them
too. Yeah, I mean, you could.
Yeah, I want to be the great grandparent that you knew.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome. That was so special.
That was so special to have them.
No, it doesn't. In fact, I have no idea who two grandfathers were. I have no idea who great grandparents were. Nothing. But you were very, very fortunate.
I was lucky to have great grandparents. I was really lucky to have great grandparents. So tell me about your parents and what was your life like growing up?
My parents really didn't have a good marriage. It was very rocky from the time I can remember. And I guess part of it probably in my mind had to do with the fact that my dad was in the military, Marine Corps, and he was...
Yeah, it's always tough on a marriage.
On a marriage and on a family, and, you know, he wasn't around a lot. And it was extremely hard on my mother, obviously. I mean, first one baby, and then two, then three. And when... the fact that my sister Kathy was a paraplegic at the age of 9, that certainly put a strain on the marriage also, because a lot of medical expenses.
Yeah.
We didn't know for a long time whether she was going to survive, what was going to be her chances as a kid, a young adult. So I think that affected my parents greatly, and eventually my father did leave my mother, and because of that, I'm estranged from him. I don't any longer have any contact with him. I'm not too saddened by it, because I was very, very, I was an adult with two children when he left my mother, and it was at a time when, you know, family should be coming together rather than falling apart. My mother also was a very strong woman. I probably get a lot of that from her too. She had to cope with a lot by herself. She had to deal with that emotional distress about a child, you know, losing the ability to walk. And so she had a lot of strain on her. And I pretty much know for a fact that the success in my marriage is because I knew what a bad marriage was.
Oh, yeah, so you could kind of learn what not to do.
And I knew that there had to be a lot of give and take, a lot of understanding, a lot of support, and that's what your grandfather and I have done for each other, you know, forever. So, you know, I'm sorry sometimes he's not in my life, but that's okay, because... that's the way it is.
I mean, it was kind of your choice, right?
It was my choice. Yeah. It was my choice, because it just upset me so, what he did to my mother, and then my mother kind of collapsed under that whole thing, so it wasn't good for her.
Is he still alive today?
He is still alive. Right? He'll be 94 in January,
oh, wow.
I think. And my youngest sister, Karen, she lives with him. His wife, he had eventually remarried, and his wife just recently passed away.
Okay.
So my youngest sister moved in with him to kind of help take care of him.
Tell me what you were like as a child. What did you look like, and how did you like to spend your time?
I was a girly girl.
Oh, you were?
Oh, yes. I had very long hair. My mother used to, when after she shampooed my hair, and I was a blonde as a little girl, she would do what were called finger curls. She would take a section of hair, wrap it around her finger real tight, and then pull down on it, and it would leave like a curly,
like a curly cue.
And I like to dress up. I always, and I went to Catholic school, so I had to wear uniforms, so that made me want to dress up more frequently. My mother was a seamstress and always made our clothes, and usually all three, it was like myself, Kathy, and Lynn, we would all be dressed alike, our outfits, so we almost sometimes wound up looking like triplets rather than, you know, separate sisters. Yes. And I just liked the aspect of being, you know, girly. I think I was a nice kid. I remember the nuns asking me to do a lot of after-school things with them. So
why, because they liked you?
Yeah, because they liked me, yeah. And, you know, I was chatty, I think, as you can tell by me having this
conversations.
did talk a lot. As I got a little older, sports, whatever the sport was I participated in. When we lived in California, we had a pool, so we always did a lot of swimming then. My father was a good swimmer, and when we settled in Glassboro, we joined a pool there.
Wait, can I ask you something?
Sure.
So you lived in California?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you end up here?
Like what? Well, I was born in Philadelphia. That's where Mimi is from. And my father was stationed at the military base in Philadelphia. That's how they met. But then he got transferred to San Diego, which is a naval base in San Diego. And lived there for a couple years. My sister Kathy was born in California. And then we came back to Philadelphia because he was going overseas. And then we went back to California another time. So I lived there until I was about 10 years. I was 9 years old. And then when we came back here, we had a little house in Glassboro. And Kathy had... I forgot this. We came back and we lived in a farmhouse outside of Bridgeton.
Oh, right.
And it was so, so cool. Your dad gets crazed when I start to tell the story. The farmhouse that we lived in was surrounded by peach trees and tomato plants. And one of my favorite things to do in the summertime when the tomatoes were growing was to go out into the field, pick up a tomato, just brush it off, and bite it right out in the sun-kissed tomato, and the juices would run down my arm.
And your father just
thinks that's so crazy when I talk about that. Then my sister had her accident at that, where we lived. And we bought a house in Glassboro. Lived in that for a while, but it had steps, and it was hard on getting Kathy up and down the steps and stuff. So that's when we moved into a house on University Boulevard in Glassboro. And it was a house I loved. I really did. It's like you think, oh, when I grow up and get older need a house, I'm going to go back and buy that house and live there.
But, you like it that much?
Yeah, it was a neat house. I loved Glassboro. I had a lot of friends there. And, of course, that's where I went to high school and college.
Did you like Glassboro better than San Diego? Or do you like San Diego?
I always thought, would I have been a good surfer girl? I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, maybe if you lived there.
San Diego, I mean, at Christmas time, we got bicycles, and we were riding around outside with, you know, just shorts and stuff on. Yeah, I did like San Diego a lot. It's a beautiful area, and it was very pretty. But I guess I'm like Leo. I bloom wherever I'm planted, and, you know, I'm just happy. Happy wherever I am.
You're happy wherever you are.
Yeah, wherever I am, I'm going to be happy. Yeah. And always was swimming. My dad was our swim team coach. All my sisters were excellent swimmers also. I was the only one that dove. I was the only one that was courageous enough, I guess, or stupid enough to get up on the high board and dive.
Courageous.
Not well, stupid. I did 3-meter diving also. Like the boards at Brookside, they're 1 meter. 3-meter boards are, you know, a higher elevation.
Oh.
So.
Like a high dive?
The high dive.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I like high dives.
Yeah. Well, cool. We had one at Brookside for a long time, but then a girl slipped down the ladder and I guess got severely injured. So
yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, so they took the high dive.
She took it out. I wish I still had that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Share with me the story of how you and Grandpa met. Tell me about your wedding and your honeymoon.
Grandpa was 2 years, he was a senior and I was a sophomore at Glassboro.
The college,
Glassboro State. And he came into what was called the co-op. It was a little snack, kind of a big snack bar area. There were booths and you could get sandwiches and stuff. It was basically for the commuters on campus. Glassboro at that time was a big commuter college. And I was sitting with a group of my peers in the health and phys ed program, and one guy was sitting at our table. He was interested in one of the other girls. And it was a rainy day, and your grandfather walked in the back door, and I saw him. He had dark sunglasses on. His sunglasses were always very, very dark. And he had a green rubberized raincoat on. They were very popular at the time. You'd get them at the Army-Navy store. Canvas on the outside, and he came in, and of course Grandpa is 6'2", so he was very tall walking down the aisle with all these people sitting at booths, and I literally stood up at the table, put my hands down on the table, and I said, oh my God, where has he been all my life? And
what, do you think he was that cute or something?
I did. I truly believe in soulmates. He and I were meant to be together.
Well, because once you saw him, you knew that.
Oh, and I'll keep going. And the boy that was sitting at the table, he said, oh, I know him. Oh, and your grandfather had an Ocean City Beach Patrol t-shirt on, OCBP. And not being an ocean person, I really didn't know what that was. But the kid says, oh, I know him from the beach patrol. I'll go get him to come over here and talk to you. And he had no idea who your grandfather was. So he went up and Grandpa said, oh, there's a bunch of girls back here at the table that want to meet you. And he says, oh, I'll get a cup of coffee and I'll come back a little later. Well, he came and he sat down in the booth across from me. So he's like on the outside, I'm on the inside. And everybody just starts to have like a conversation. Oh, what's your major, you know, your name, that kind of thing and so forth. And then it's time for the girls to go on to class. So we got up, we walked out, and there wasn't any real deep conversation between the two of us. I was probably so enamored I couldn't speak for once in my life. And as we're walking across campus, one of the girls, a good friend of mine, said, well, I guess we all know who he's going to be calling. And that was in September, shortly after school had started. A couple weeks later, this kid, John, comes running up to us girls as we're leaving the gym and says, where have you been all forever? He says, Lyle wants to see you. He's in the snack bar. He's been looking for you. So my heart starts to flutter. Uh-huh. So we walked up to the snack bar, all the girls, the co-op, and they all went to another booth, and I sat down with your grandfather across from him. And I don't know what kind of conversation we had. It was probably, you know, what's your class, you know, what you've been doing. I have no idea. But then he said, oh, why don't you give me your phone number so I can give you a call? He said, I live at the Grandview Apartments in Pittman, and the Acme is close by, and right behind the Acme, they run go-kart races. And I like to go to them. And I said, oh, okay. So I gave him my phone number.
So was he asking you to go on a date?
It was kind of like asking to go on a date, yeah. And so he called and said he wanted to go to the races on Sunday. And I was familiar with it because Pittman and Glasper are side by side. Yeah. It's like Summers Point, Linwood. And so he came to the house, met my parents. And at that time, I mean, that was extremely important in my family and especially to my parents. They always had to know. And here I was, I mean, I'm like, you know, probably 19 years old and living at home still. But that was my choice. I wanted to. And I never did want to be anyplace else. I was comfortable with that. So anyway, we went to the go-kart races, and then I think we went to a coffee shop, and I probably had a Pepsi because I didn't drink coffee at the time. And then he took me home and then called another time, and we went to the movies. And I have forgotten right now what the movie was, but Grandpa will remember, I'm sure. And so we did parties on campus. There were dances, and you know, we did stuff like that.
What about so, when like so he was like 2 years older than you in
yes.
college? So when he graduated, were you guys still going out and stuff?
No, we weren't. This sister Kathy had gone to the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. It was a college campus and town that were completely designed for handicapped disabled people, wheelchairs, crutches, all blind, all kinds of things. So she went to that college. She was a freshman, I was a sophomore. She was coming home at Christmas, and I said to your grandfather, my sister Kathy will be coming home, I really want you to meet her. And he said, well, I'll come down one day over the vacation. Never called, never showed up. And I was so hurt and so upset because I really wanted him to meet my sister. And I really wanted my sister to meet him, too. And I do remember one night we were out, we pulled up to the house, and I said to him, I'm falling in love with you. And he said, well, don't, because we don't know where this is going. Well, the problem was that he had a high school girlfriend that was coming home from college that Christmas, and spent his Christmas vacation with her. And then after Christmas, back on campus, we bumped into each other, and I just told him it was over. I was so upset, blah, blah, and I was so silly and stupid. I should have left my emotions go, but anyway. So we didn't see each other for another 2 years. He went to visit this girl. Her name was Martha. Maybe you've heard her name before.
I have.
He went to Rhode Island.
Doesn't she live in Australia?
She does live in Australia.
Yeah, she
and has called a couple of times.
Yeah, like,
and I've actually spoken with her. Well, and I have no fear or concern about that at all. So he went to Rhode Island and he took an engagement ring with him and he was going to propose to her. And she begins talking at dinner about how when she finishes college, she's going to join the Peace Corps, she's going to go to Africa, she wants to go to South America, she's going to do all these. Are you familiar with the Peace Corps?
No.
President Kennedy started that, and it was a group of young college graduates, usually, that would go into foreign countries, and they would help out in various ways. So that was her ambition. And she wasn't going to get married, right? So your grandfather packed the ring up, packed his bag up, left, came home and said, this is not the life for me. This is not what I want. In the meantime, I had met someone and we did get engaged. And we were engaged
So you were engaged before?
Yeah, about a year.
How did that end?
Well, very badly, because this guy, if we had gotten married, I know I would have been divorced, because when we were initially going together, he thought I was pretty special, and after a while, and he drank, and after a while, he began to be very suspicious of any conversation I was having with anybody, who I might be seeing on campus, because he went to college in West Virginia. We had met at a party in Glasgow. And so eventually, anyway, we did spend some time together, and I could just tell this was not a good choice for me. I was smart enough and wise enough. So one night in March, I broke off the engagement, and we had already collected things for, you know, like engagement gifts and stuff like that. And I just sent everything that was ours together out the front door of my parents' house at 3 o'clock in the morning. What? My parents are upstairs. They know what's going on. And
were they okay with it? They were like,
Oh yes. Oh, they did not like him at all.
Oh, they didn't like him.
Oh, they did not like him at all. So,
but they liked Grandpa.
Oh my God. Loved him. So the next morning, it's a Sunday, I get up and I'm crying my eyes out. Not because I was sad about it, but just that the whole thing had happened. Mimi sits down at the table and she said, "Well, Diane," she said, "you made the right decision, and you need to know that Lyle called last night."
Oh.
And I said, "What?" He called while I was in, you know, making my mind up about getting rid of this guy. Your grandfather calls out of the clear blue sky, had not had any contact with him in almost 2 years. So it was kismet. We were meant to be.
Yeah. I mean, so, that just happened out of coincidence.
Yeah. So the next, and so my mother said, he's going to call tonight. That was a Sunday. So he did. He called on Sunday evening. We chatted for quite some time. And he said, "I know your birthday's coming up." He said, I've been trying to make a decision. I want a Jaguar, and I've been thinking about going to England. Are you running out of time?
Yeah, no, this is the last one.
Okay, going to England, buying a Jaguar, because it would be cheaper to do that.
A Jaguar?
A car, the automobile.
Oh, the car.
automobile Jaguar. And then ship it back on ship, and I would come back on the ship. Or ask you out for dinner. So I said, "Well, I know how much you love Jaguars and cars," because he had really sporty GTO when we met. Oh, it was a beauty, red. It was a gorgeous car. Wish he never gave it up. And I said, "Well, whatever you want to do, but I wouldn't mind going out for dinner with you." So for my birthday, we went out for dinner, and we were together ever since after that. And we got married 2 weeks after I graduated from college. He was already teaching in Ocean City, and then we got married and had that very short honeymoon because we had to get back to teaching, and our life has been blissed and blessed ever since.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful.
I guess it was meant to be.
It was meant to be, absolutely. Meeting like that, and then I'm breaking up and he's calling on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's